I'd like to call the select board meeting of July 15th to order. There are just a couple of short items of business before the main event. Our two presenters, we have to approve, well, review and approve minutes. Ben, you got a copy? Are we?
Yep.
Would you like to make a motion on that?
Yep. I motion to approve those minutes.
I second that. I think we are unanimous. Are we not? Good. Any requests to change the agenda for tonight? Hearing none, we're going to move on to new business. I put public comment at the end after new business because Mark Anders and Andrew Rodriguez are here to take us through an informational session, which is the main order of business. So with no further ado, can I ask you to start?
I'm Mark Anders, Senior Transportation Planner at the Bennington County Regional Commission.
I'm Andrew Rodriguez, I'm a Senior Engineer at FMS Canyon County.
All right, so I'm gonna start giving you a presentation on traffic calming and intersection redesign, and hopefully some of this will be relevant to Peru and some of the questions you're thinking about in Peru. So this is a photo of a crash that was outside my house last summer. I'll refer to this crash a few times in the presentation. And so this is really in two parts. The first part, I'll talk about traffic calming, and the second part, I'll talk about a intersection redesign project that we did in Bennington, actually with MSK, quite a few years ago now.
Yeah.
So we have had many, especially since COVID, my office has gotten many, many complaints about speeding. And we never really had much to offer except, you know, enforcement. So we created something called the Traffic Calming Guide, which has technical information about traffic calming in an effort to give something to the towns, something that, options for them to reduce speeding in neighborhoods. So Town of Bennington, we gave a few presentations like this in Bennington, and they adopted a traffic calming policy in Bennington. So residents of roads or streets, neighborhoods can request a traffic calming project if they get 2/3 of the residents in the project area to sign off on it. So far we have 2 projects in the works. Nothing has actually been built yet, but I'm hopeful next summer we'll get our first project. So what is traffic calming and why do we need it? So I'd like to show this picture of these two roads, these two streets, side by side. And you know, when I ask people which street would you drive slower on, most people would say the street on the right, you know, because the street on the left looks kind of like a highway. It's got a double yellow center line, it's straight, there are no street trees, whereas the street on the right has street trees that go right up to the edge of the road. It's got parked cars. There's no yellow center line, so it doesn't look like a highway. So I think most people would drive slower on the street to the right. So that's what we call self-enforcing design. You know, people drive the speed limit not because of the speed limit, but because of the way the road is designed. And that's really the goal of traffic calming. So the street on the left, the straight road, that would be probably a candidate for traffic calming intervention. So here's a local example. You know, superficially, these roads look fairly similar. They're designed in a very similar way. The street on the road on the top has 11-foot travel lanes, double yellow center line, fairly narrow shoulders, as does the street on the bottom. But they are very different roads. The road on the top is Route 7A in Arlington, and it has a 50 mile an hour speed limit. whereas the road on the bottom is Monument Ave in Bennington, which is one of our traffic calming project areas. And that has a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit. And it has a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit because the curves are much tighter. There are a lot of driveways with very poor sight distance. A lot of people walk on the road. People bike on the road. It's more of a neighborhood street. But the design of the road invites people to drive fast, and that's what they do, because it looks like a highway and it's designed like a highway. So, you know, speeding and high traffic volume are big safety problems, and they're also quality of life problems. So this is a pickup truck on Monument Ave. If you look closely, it has mass plates. A lot of people use Monument Ave as a cut-through to go to the hospital from Massachusetts. You know, this cut-through traffic, since Google Maps and Waze came on the scene, is a big problem everywhere. I don't know if this is a problem in Peru, but it's a problem in many, many places. And cut-through traffic tends to drive faster than local traffic. You know, it's really an issue for residents. So this crash, it was in front of my house. I'll talk more about that in a minute, but I looked at 10 years of crash data from the town of Bennington, which is not a big town. It's only about just short of 16,000 people. And it had over 4,000 crashes in 10 years. 777 of those crashes were injury crashes. And you know, more than one person can be injured in an injury crash. So that's a lot of injuries. And there were 10 fatal crashes where at least one person died. So this is a very big public safety issue in Bennington and many other towns in our region. And so the kind of crash that I saw in front of my house, I think is illustrative of the problem. It illustrates that speed is really a contributor to the frequency of crashes and the severity of crashes. So keep in mind, this is a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit. So this guy hit the culvert, got airborne. I don't know if the laser pointer works. No, that's not going to work. Screens. Lost his bumper on the road sign there. Kept going up, hit the utility pole really high up, broke it in three places, came to a rest. So, you know, you don't get that kind of air if you're going 30 miles an hour. I mean, this guy was going really fast. And so we ran out to the car. Fortunately, the young man was okay. And only minor injuries. And his words were like, oh shit, I just got my CDL, now I'm screwed. So I don't know what happened to his commercial driving career, but maybe he wasn't cut out for it. But you know, this is the place that you need traffic. You know, thank God nobody was waiting at the intersection. This could have been a really bad crash. So another shot of the project area. This is a local doctor walking home from the hospital. And I think a lot more people would walk like this if the roads were safer. You know, they're just not that inviting. And people are right to be scared. This is a diagram that shows pedestrian crash survival rates. So the figures in white are just minor injuries. The figures in orange are serious injuries. And red is killed. And you can see how speed really impacts survival rates in pedestrian vehicle crashes. So at 20 miles an hour, you have an 80% chance of just getting minor injuries, and a 10% chance of dying, 10% chance of major injuries. At 45 miles an hour, you only have a 10% chance of minor injuries. You have a 60% chance of getting killed, and a 30% chance of serious injuries. So traffic calming in areas where people are walking is really important because it's a huge safety issue and it affects how people use the roads, whether they feel safe walking on the streets. So to get into the weeds on traffic calming a little bit, there are several different kinds of traffic calming. The kind that are guide focuses most on, it's called vertical deflection. At speed humps, speed tables, race, pedestrian crossings, raced intersections, and traffic calming roundabouts. So vertical deflection is like basically something raised in the road. And a lot of people think of speed bumps. So we're not talking about speed bumps. Speed bumps are for parking lots. They're way too severe for public roads. When we talk about vertical deflection for traffic calming, we're talking about speed humps or speed tables. And you can see the difference in the diagram. The speed hump is the thing under the car. So it's a much longer, gentler vertical deflection. So not speed bumps, speed humps. So a speed hump, they're usually 12 to 14 feet long, and they're only about 3 inches, sometimes 3.5 inches tall. And when vehicles go over them, they slow down to about 20 to 25 miles per hour. And speed tables are very similar, but they have a flat top that supports the entire wheelbase. And they're a little bit more expensive and used more in urban areas, so I'm going to talk mostly about speed humps. And, you know, this is not some radical idea. The Federal Highway Administration talks a lot about speed humps and speed tables as being an effective traffic safety measure. And they actually have a typical design for one you can download. And the Federal Highway Administration is a very conservative organization, so this is really not an out there idea. There are a couple of design considerations. You'll notice on the right there, it looks like people kind of drive around it with one wheel. So the simple fix is to put a sign, like a speed hump or a speed table sign, right next to the pavement so you can't drive around it. So do speed humps work to slow traffic and increase safety? So the source I use for most of this information is the ITE, which is the Institute of Transportation Engineers, recommended practice, a guide to vertical deflection speed reduction techniques. And it's like 200 pages long. It's really fun reading. It's really the gold standard. The ITE is like the gold standard for transportation engineering. And it's what the Federal Highway Administration uses as a source for all the traffic calming work and for a lot of other things related to transportation. So the ITE surveyed 125 traffic calming installations that use vertical deflection. And they found the effects are vehicles traveling 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, that was reduced by 74%. Vehicles traveling 10 miles an hour over the speed limit went down 81%, and traffic volume typically reduced by 20%. So probably some drivers wanted to drive faster, so they found another route, which is what we want to do. You know, we want to eliminate cutting traffic and drive people to highways, which are designed for faster traffic. And then for crash reduction, we found a crash modification factor of 0.6, so you know, a 40% reduction in crashes. So that's pretty remarkable for a really low cost intervention. So there are some other small tweaks besides vertical deflection that can help communities in the area. You can remove the double yellow central lines in some places, and sometimes narrowing travel lane widths also slows traffic. So here's an example. This is Monument Ave near, in Old Bennington near the monument. And you can see it's a very narrow road, even though it has pretty high traffic volume. No central line. They do paint central line occasionally. V-Trans sort of makes them paint center line, but I think lately there has not been a central line on Monument Ave. And there's some pavers that narrow the road. So years ago, the road commissioner for Old Bennington, who is the retired New Jersey Secretary of Transportation, convinced V-Trans that these pavers should count as lane width. Of course, nobody drives on them, but it's a very slow, safe feeling road. So I think this is a great example of traffic. Another thing sometimes do are radar feedback signs. They have been shown to reduce speeds by 2 to 11 miles an hour. I mean, we see quite a few of these around here. Of course, you don't get a ticket in the mail. It's just like a little reprimand if you're going too fast. But often the effects of these fade over time when people realize that, when they get used to them, or they realize that they're not going to get a ticket. So a couple of local examples where vertical deflection has been installed is Lebanon, New Hampshire, and Pittsfield, Mass. So Lebanon, New Hampshire, they put 3 speed tables and 2 chicanes on Dulac Street. I went there, I drove it. This is a Google Street View picture. And this is what it looks like in the wild. It's pretty simple. And it's very, very effective. And it's funny, often this is actually a speed hump, but they put a speed table sign because apparently speed hump signs are often stolen. Don't ask me why, but that's actually the IT guys. They recommend not putting speed hump signs up. Pittsfield, Mass. So Pittsfield is pretty far from Peru, but it's actually not that far from Benetton. So my wife was frequently drives to Pittsfield, and she's, we're all cut through traffic sometimes. So this was her cut through route, was Partridge Road, Oak Hill Road. And she noticed that, oh my God, there are 11 speed humps on this road now. So the city of Pittsfield is getting a lot of complaints from a neighborhood about speeding and cut through traffic. So they put in 11 speed humps. I went down there and checked it out. These are shots from Google. So they're coming in north, this is what it looks like. And then you see your speed bump ahead sign. And this is what they look like. This is the first one, so you're coming in. And the road gets more thickly settled. That's what it looks like. This is a picture I took. So I got out, I talked to residents, to see how they felt about it. Overwhelmingly, they liked it. So I also spoke to Tyler Shedd, the Pittsfield DPW engineer, and he said it's significantly reduced cut-through traffic. People used to drive 40, 45 miles an hour. Now they drive 20, 25 miles an hour. He said the road has been profoundly changed. Feels really safe to walk on. Snow plowing has not been an issue. It wasn't an issue in Lebanon, New Hampshire, too. I talked to the road foreman there. And he's really, really happy with it. And Pittsfield is planning on putting in more projects like this. So that's like the traffic calming section for this talk. We can take questions at the end. Or maybe you want to talk questions about vertical deflection.
I would just like, that's a great pitch, like very much in favor. And because you're a smart individual, or at least I have the impression you're a smart individual, what would be the counter argument? Like, what's the argument against?
They're not for every place. You know, I think you want to do a study, make sure that there are crashes in the area, there's really a speeding problem. I think it's good to address a specific issue. I don't really know any counter arguments. I mean, there are places where you want people to be able to go faster, and you don't want to put them in there, but wherever anybody's walking or where there are safety issues, it's a great solution, honestly. Used in many places, not so much in Vermont, but hopefully that will change.
Generally, the feedback you get, and it is more anecdotal, is snow plows.
We average 120 inches of snow.
The snow plow driver asleep with the wheel, he isn't, he's just going to hit the thing. He's going to tear it up. You have to be mindful if you have any traffic information coming from the road. Yeah. Whoever's following the road needs to be mindful. Hey, this thing is in here now. You can't just go at all.
So the IT, they recommend if it's an area where there is a lot of snow pine, to use a sinusoidal profile. That's much easier to plow than a straight one or a parabolic profile. So sort of little design details like that make a big difference for plowing. But they put these in Rochester, New York, and Montreal. I mean, mean, places that have a lot more snow than we do. And it's really not an issue. The guy from Pittsfield said, you know, they just like go a little slow over it and the plow drivers learn how to deal with it. So, I'm still trying to convince the Bennington DPW director of this, but. So, any other questions about vertical deflection before we talk about intersections and design? All right. So we did a pretty major intersection redesign project in Bennington, and just to put this in context, this is a map of the shared use paths in Bennington. So Bennington has a pretty ambitious plan for shared use paths. So the solid green is completed paths. The dotted ones are planned. And right in the middle of this whole thing is where it says Rail Trail Ninja Path Link, is the Benmont Dewey Street intersection. And that is key for this whole system because it's like there's two, it's hard to tell from this map, but there's like one main trunk of this path system and there's another one. And to connect them, we want to connect them right there because that's the most logical place. So it's like this important node. And this is what it used to look like, an aerial used to look like. So you can see Benmont Ave is a very, very busy street, it's one of the busiest north-south streets of Bennington. And then Hunt Street comes in at an acute angle. And there is there was a sort of no man's land where a lot of crashes occurred. I wish my laser. So there were a lot of crashes, there were no sidewalks or crosswalks, and then to add to the chaos, there was a school bus depot, so buses were like pulling in and out, and then there's two big gas stations, and there was no curbing or access management at the gas station, so people were like shooting out in every direction. It was really chaos. And then the abandoned rail tracks there, that's now a rail trail, so we wanted to connect people from there to Hunt Street. So this is sort of what it looks like before the intersection project was done. That's Hunt Street there, breaking off on the left. So MSK did a very nice design, and the idea was to make Hunt Street come in at a 90 degree angle because 90 degree angles are always safer than acute angles. Because you have fewer potential conflict points. And so the point of this project was to avoid all these, to reduce the number of conflict points, and also to make it much easier to walk and bike through the area. So they also added a lot of green space. So this whole thing was kind of like a wasteland of pavement. So they were able to add more sort of nub of green space and then do some access management. So this is sort of a before and after aerial. So the top, you see Hunt Street coming in at that acute angle, and then Hunt Street now comes in at a right angle. And then below that, you see there's a much bigger green area, and the bus depot got its own entrance. And then a lot of pedestrian amenities were added. So this is a before and after picture. And you can see from the top, like, as a pedestrian, you're really kind of a sitting duck in this like, sea of pavement, and it's a much better situation below. The after is a much safer situation. Lots of pedestrians walk along here. This is a before picture, and then this is what it looks like now. And another before picture, and that's what it looks like now. So all that grass is all new, that's all used to be pavement. And then, you know, so this is this big commercial access. So it's kind of funny because the maximum size for a two-way commercial drive access is 40 feet, but effectively this one was 618 feet. It just went on and on. So we put in some of these islands, and there's supposed to be plenty of trees, but they were never planted trees. it's a whole other story.
It is.
It's another before shot, and you can see pretty clearly the access management with the guidelines. And this is what it looks like now. So I think, like, safety-wise and aesthetically, it's really, really, really nice. That is a construction shot, but you can see the double yellow line there, the old Hunt Street line, and that's what it looks like now. And so a lot of people had to walk past that puddle over the years and by that barbed wire fence, and many pedestrians every day, and now this is what it looks like. And this is Hunt Street swinging around to meet Benmont at a right angle.
What was the cost on that project?
That's a good question. It was done about 5 years ago. It was about $500,000, I think.
Yeah.
There was a lot of regrading that had to happen. The section there on the left, what used to be a pretty big slope, that was part of the expense. The town built it. It was town constructed. There were a few issues with the construction, but we'll get into that. But, yeah. But it was a pretty major project. You know, there was repaving, and it was a big project area. So, yeah. All right, so I'll turn it over to you.
Sure. Unless you guys have any questions for Mark, we'll pull this up. So this is kind of where I come in. So a number of years ago, we worked with the prior select board to come up with a solution for right down here in your guys' town. So kind of the input that we had got before our design was a lot of traffic coming through. Sometimes there will even be times where people are, you know, trying to get past a slower moving truck or something like that. So instead, they're going to come straight down here screaming to try and get around. Another problem that they're having is people are taking the turn to Hasbrook Pond Road really early. They're starting their turn before the general store, they're starting it right over, and people are coming in across the lane to get over. And so high speeds going through, but also unsafe interactions going from Main Street to Hasbrook Pond. They're starting that turn way too early, and there's going to be conflicts. And generally, people aren't necessarily even slowing down going on the Hasbrook Pond Road. So we took that information, and also their, you know, parking and kind of pedestrian interactions happen in this intersection, and it's right now a sea of paper. We had two different options. This is the option that was selected at the time, where kind of what happened down in Benmont, you take what was kind of a V opening and turned it 90 degrees. The rationale behind that, what Mark said, is it forces people coming from Hasbrook to stop, take a left or a right, instead of just keep on going. And then for people going from Main Street on Hasbrook, they have to stop, they have to take a 90 degree turn. So it eliminates just, you know, not, you know, taking your foot off the gas and just going. That was our general approach. We selected the town back a couple years ago. We gave an estimate for what it could potentially cost, and it was left with, okay, we'll take a look and see. So that's where it was left. And then Andy contacted me and said, you know, interested in talking about this again, kind of kicking the dust off a little bit. So that's why I'm here, and happy to answer any questions and kind of go through the rationale. We did briefly talk about putting speed tables or some kind of restriction in Main Street, but that was ruled off at the time. But that is also something that could be reinvestigated as well.
So this is contrary to your business interests, but like one idea is like putting Jersey barriers at the intersection of Route 11 and Main Street on the west side of town.
Okay.
Because one of the issues we find is like people coming, you know, from Bromley into town, they're coming down the hill, going at least 50, often going more, and then ducking into town.
Yep.
And so we can achieve that same concept of like getting a 90 degree turn by forcing people to come on South Road. Mm-hmm. And so it would be two 90-degree turns. It would be like from 11 to South Road, that's a 90-degree turn, and then South Road onto Main Street.
Yes.
Is that...
I agree. And also for the people who want to go to in the Londonderry direction, to have them also go out on the South Road
mm-hmm.
to make their 90-degree turn to go to Londonderry.
Yeah, changing the traffic pattern will have its effect. If you want to, you know, if you were just trying, you know, a lot of communities, before they invest in a large project like this, they'll put Jersey barriers up. They'll put, sometimes they'll put, for example, working with Chester right now, they put up a number of wooden planters along their town green to basically physically prevent people from going in certain spots. And so that is an option if it generally, people can still hit the Jersey barriers, you know what I mean? There's an aesthetic aspect to that. But if you want to physically, you know, if you want to do something tomorrow to physically change this, yeah, you could put up some Jersey barriers and you could, you know, put up these road barriers to force people to move that way. That is an option. I'm not going to tell you that it's not going to work. It will work. It will not have the same aesthetic. It's not going to give you parking. Your access is going to be a little bit different. It has its trade-offs, but its main benefit of slowing people down tomorrow, it's a viable option, yeah.
I think also we have a, that's wonderful what you just said, but I think we have also an issue with the whole Hapgood Bound Road. What is the beginning, it's 30 miles, and then it's 40 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And 40 miles for this road, what I just saw in the other pictures, it's way, way too fast.
Yeah.
People go even,
yeah.
I mean, I never measured it, but pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
And I think those speed tables, what to me probably is not very expensive. And you said some other towns, they have like 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could have a couple down to the firehouse like that and reduce the speed to at least down to 30, mm-hmm. not even maybe 25, because there are quite a few houses. And a lot of people walk there from the campground and others.
This is not necessarily a one solution fixes all. You know what I mean? You can throw a lot of different things at this, depending on what the result you guys want to have is. Happy to, we kind of did this based off the inputs that we wanted to focus. The focus was specifically for Hapgood Bound Road and Main Street and slowing down that intersection. Beyond that, you know, you can do many different things around this whole kind of nexus area.
I think to Alex's point of expanding where our intervention happens to be where Route 11 meets town, regardless of slowing down the traffic that comes into town, you still have the arguably sketchy intersection
yes.
of people entering Hapgood Pond Road. And with this, it looks like we have the added benefit of new green space.
Yes. So, I can show you what it looks like. So, objectively, the intersection with Hapgood Pond Road and Main Street is just a sea of it, to quote Mark. It is, it's very popular. Like, you know, everybody, some schools have thought they're on really wide roads, everything that, so they just keep in. Roads tend to grow, especially. Because like, oh, we'll just put a little bit more pavement, it'll be easy to turn, stuff like that. And now you get to the point where it's so easy to turn that it is vehicle-friendly, not pedestrian-friendly. And that's kind of the situation you guys are in now with the Hapgood Pond Road. It does not, that intersection does not need to be that big, it does not need to be that wide. So you can do that by turning your back in grass, you can put Jersey barriers, you can put planters, you can do a number of things, but what you want to do is say, hey, force these people for a little bit slower movement, and that's going to slow down your speeds, and it's going to be pedestrian safer.
What kind of effect would this have into logging trucks? Because there are quite a few logging trucks going.
So, we asked, hey, do you guys experience any large vehicle traffic? And the feedback that we got from them was not really. If there is a concern about having this large, having a radius that can accommodate that, there are different elements that you can incorporate on the corners of that turn. You can have a mountable curb. So
you're going to feel it in Moose Abandon, but a semi truck is going to be able to go slow, but go over. That you'll see that commonly through a lot of intersections, especially in Bennington. They have a number in North Bennington. They implemented a lot of mountable curves. Most rotaries down in Manchester, that's all mountable curve. So if you've ever seen a semi trying to go through those rotaries, they kind of just go straight through, but they go slow.
My opinions have been formed in a vacuum. Yep. I honestly barely talked to anybody except maybe Lucas. I feel like 90% of our problem is no one stops at our stop sign. I see it weekly.
Yep.
How do you get someone to stop at a stop sign? They just won't.
So,
is there a better stop sign, a better mousetrap?
Well, so with this, they're going to, you know, from Happy Pop Rock, they're going to stop because you're not going to take a 90-degree turn going 30, you know what I mean?
They're not gonna stop to continue on to Route 11.
That straight shot, that the only real way to slow them down would be to speed table or something like that. You know, you'll get some slowing down because cars will have to slow. If a car's in front of you, it's going to happen, they're gonna slow. They're gonna get down to 5 miles an hour before they take that turn.
You can't really count on someone being.
I understand, but that we had the directive at the time not really to put anything in mainstream.
So there's not a better stop sign.
not necessarily. Enforcement is best to make people stop at stop signs. You could signalizing would be overkill.
You put a speed hump before it. It would slow people down.
Yeah.
We actually have that.
Wait, it was a speed bump, not a hump.
Excuse me. I was a 17-year-old boy.
I think that's kind of an obsolete argument. We haven't had those out in 2 years?
No, we have. They
come
and go.
They come and go.
They
come and go. 2 years, they haven't been in.
No way.
That's generally what it's like. You know, you put them down and then, you know, it works for when you're not associated with the event.
Well, I think a speed table is much more effective than a speed
bump. Yeah. And, you know, one school of thought is you could make that entire intersection a speed table. So that whole turn, because you're kind of coming down grade, you could grade it a little bit differently where I can't really reach, but basically from the start of your turn to the end of your turn, that whole wide route, that could be a speed table. So they are going up to that turn and coming back down. You'd already be messing around with the pavement at that time. It's something that could be incorporated, and that would slow down the Main Street traffic.
So clearly there would be a stop sign at that intersection.
Yeah.
Do you see it as like a three-way stop?
Basically. So, I mean, you would have a stop here. Yeah, so you stop, stop, stop. Yep.
You need a stop for going out of the town.
So you would.
You don't need a stop.
You could not have a stop here. If you wanted to, you could stop. You could have a free stop, or you could just have the same.
You need
stop.
Two stops: one from Hopcourt Bound,
yeah,
and one coming into town, but not for going out.
It all depends on how you want to set this up. How restrictive you want to be.
There's just a road missing.
It's off the street.
Okay.
Like I said, this was specifically for this intersection. So,
so the parsonage, is that, am I seeing that right? Where the driveway comes in front of the church? It'll just straight up.
And church, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Root church. Yeah, parsonage.
Yep.
So there'd be like a easement the town would have to give the parsonage and extend his driveway?
So yes, you need to do an easement to connect that driveway.
And it kind of cuts off our green space there?
So what it does is it cuts... Thank you so much! So it goes through your current... So right now, this green space right here is the current.
Yeah.
So you would go through...
Was there any thought of just coming off of Hatka, paralleling his home, and then going in to have more green space?
So moving to 90.
Where after this,
yeah,
continue his driveway.
Boom.
Along the tree line.
Kind of going like that?
Yeah.
We didn't consider it because it would be more pavement and...
Or driveway.
We didn't necessarily consider that because we went with the straightest option out, and also it creates a weird interaction when you have a driveway on a curve. People are already slow, you already have this, and so it's more of a straight and an intersection. And so this would be a section of green, you would have that.
And what are the sizes of those greens? If you were to estimate between the proposed driveway and the proposed...
Lucas, you're asking like what would be the green footprint?
Yeah. Square footage, yeah. Or just the width or whatever, just to kind of
so that is
how large that space.
That is 4,583 approximately square feet of green space.
So like the same size as the parking area?
Correct.
Yeah.
So that would be a much it is a large section of road that just turns into green space, and then you would have. In front of the church, it's smaller, but you won't know what it is. Another 2,000 space. There's parking there as well, but you would have, that's another 2,000 square feet. You got parking mixed in there, but it's additional space that isn't road right now. It's road right now, turning into not road. So.
We consider bringing the road in on the north side of the foundation.
We consider it, but you have more grade change, and then also this was, it's going to be a longer road. It's a longer new road where this is you have your 90 degrees, you still have your radiuses, but you're not extending the road. And not only that, for the grading worked a little bit better than cutting through here because, Pack was going up, this is kind of going down, so we kind of wanted to get as close to that because you can have a lot of greater difference between the two.
And still, incorporating the foundation of the Bromley House into the green space would help make it more of a town green type situation.
What's the minimum width needed of workable space to make a road?
20 feet?
Yeah.
That would be pretty normal.
Cool.
But at the time when the Bromley House was, I understand there was a driveway exactly the way you have it here.
Yeah. There is also there's some drainage in the street that would want to be relocated. That's part of the reason why we put it there. We would still want to have separate drainage in there as well. That's part of the reason why we put it there as well.
Can you blow that up again?
Sure.
That area. Back out just a little bit.
Sure.
Who's our friend who lives on Main Street who comes and yells at us?
What's that?
Who's our friend who comes and yells at us down Main Street?
Potter?
Or,
yeah. Jim Parr. Yeah.
It is fighting with me right now. There it goes. Let me know when you want me to stop.
Ask it right there.
Yep.
One thing that we hear is the bigger concern sometimes is the speed people are traversing Main Street.
Yep.
And using it as a cut through for 11.
Yep.
So this doesn't really address that.
This does not address that directly because we were told at the time we don't want to affect Main Street.
Right.
There are things you can do to affect the speed.
So if that's one of our main problems,
yep.
What would your recommendation be for that? Because this won't change.
I think speed humps could be a solution there. I think there's also you could put grooves in the pavement to warn them potentially.
That could be a sound issue.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Was it the east side towards Linder that was talked about being eliminated at one point?
But I think you're probably looking at a speed table or speed hump.
Like, where do you position them in your thoughts of, like, from the edge of a...
If I were to do a big speed table, I would do it here to here.
At the stop signs?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that way, they're going to come up to the speed table. They're going to be elevated. They're going to take when they take their turn. They're going to go. You're just going to match that elevation in, and then they're going to come down and make it out.
Can I ask, what do you think about the idea of treating Main Street, whether it's turned into a cul-de-sac at one end or not, but it's a long straight shot.
Yeah.
What about? First of all, narrowing it. I've never seen that old Bennington strategy of cutting the pavement and then doing a, whatever that sort of shoulder is called.
Pavers.
Pavers, yeah. It seems like every time the town is paved, including last summer, more front lawn is paved over. And I feel like on the north side of Main Street, we could probably shave off 3 feet of blacktop. Even though it's costly and we just paid for it, but narrow the appearance of it and do something with the shoulder that makes it even narrower, which allows for more planting right up to the road. But then, because it's a long straight shot and we know that people have occasionally, and it's very occasional that someone tries to hot rod through town and pass something on the highway, why not, or what do you think about a series of speed humps down Main Street, so that they're essentially you cannot go fast paralleling Route 11. Mm-hmm. Is
that
I mean, and I'm not even talking about
intersection
redesign, but just in place of signage, which has not been effective.
Right.
And I think we have some sightline issues, but just change the contour of Main Street so that it has to be a 25 mile an hour drive.
Yes. So if the focus is just Main Street and slowing Main Street down. The speed tables, constructing, it's called road diet, where you shrink your asphalt, placing some street trees, making it feel more of a contained, tighter area will naturally slow people down.
Yeah. I think you should consider also the Hopgood Pond Road down to the firehouse.
That's
a really track. Down there. People flying down there. Yeah. I mean, and there are quite a few houses down there.
Yeah.
So.
And then maybe even unintended consequences of if this is so small that like workforce traffic, meaning like truck and trailer, dump truck, excavator trailer, also semi trailer, where they will now be going is Lover's Lane to make all the points, and then we'll be kind of bottlenecked back into town if they do make a mistake of not utilizing that on the way out. Mm-hmm. So it's like if there's a fine line between a professional, great driver, that whatever size they would need, where there wouldn't be like infringing on those those kind of those side areas.
Yep.
So that stays nice and clean. It's the worst drivers like we can't control, but like if it was, if we know it's big enough, I'd be interested to see what the difference would be from what you have to what you think that would be.
So you want to go bigger or you want to go smaller?
I don't know. I don't know what size that is.
So this is 30-foot radius. So this, we size this off of fire trucks.
Yep.
So what a fire truck, a large fire truck could get.
Size, what's a number?
I can't. I think at the time we looked at what your biggest fire truck or what the biggest fire truck that
the,
would serve.
The wheel.
Yep, the wheelbase. Yep. Wheelbase. Yep. And that's, I believe that's what we set for a design standard because we were told large semis do not make that turn. So then you really.
So if there isn't, you know, if there is something that could tell you.
Oh, yeah. We
that, where you weren't, where we weren't just like, they weren't. Now the workforce isn't there, they're now on Lover's Lane, and then you know, then we're here spending another 100,000, 200,000
to
put some curves
in. Yeah, we can model that to allow a semi truck a number of different vehicles in there.
Yeah.
But I believe what we designed kind of this to make it safely pass was fire trucks and things like that. Generally, they're about the same turning radius because fire trucks aren't articulated in the middle. Semi trucks are actually pretty maneuverable in what they can do.
Yeah.
Because and the professional drivers, they can turn in a lot of different areas. They're used to going into loading docks and all of that. So semis generally are not what our design standard is we're going against. It's large ladder trucks are the biggest thing.
What is your experience with designing an intersection like that and the impact on the traffic that is then leaving? Because I can see people getting frustrated with the situation and then driving like a bat out of hell down the path they're on.
They
do already. But, you know, that concerns me a little bit because, you know, those of us who live down where it's 40 miles an hour, you really can't walk down there safely.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, are we encouraging more bad behavior? I mean, I think this is great.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering about the consequences.
So I think for to get into the mentality of the person a little bit, for the person that feels they're running late or they need to speed, we really can't do much about that. You know what I mean? Because even at putting a stop sign there, they're gonna gas it as soon as they get it.
Yeah.
This particular, you know, the instructions that we're given is this intersection right here was unsafe because people were, you know, you have your turn, they were starting their turn here and going into. They weren't waiting to take their turn. They were starting well in advance and crossing over the lane. It was a concern. And then also, they weren't slowing down at all. They were maintaining their speed, crossing traffic, and just going. Same thing with here. People weren't looking. People were just maintaining their speed from half good, going down this way. The only speed reduction is when they would take this tighter turn. But then, even then, this wasn't a very tight turn, so you could still go at a pretty good clip.
Yeah, I guess, like, I appreciate what I think you weren't given that assignment. I understand that. But
yeah,
I think this addresses that well. I'm just curious, and maybe you don't have any experience with how that impacts people leaving the intersection after being forced to,
I mean, if they really want to speed, they're going to do it.
Okay.
I think this, it's going to slow them down temporarily, but if they still want to speed, if they still feel like they're going to late, they're going to increase.
But there's no data that suggests that it'll make it worse, that they're going to...
Not that
I know. Imagine people would forget about the old way relatively quickly.
Yeah.
After a certain amount of time.
Yeah,
Carol, one of Mark's colleagues at BCRC, Nick, who was our temporary zoning administrator, he has already recommended that we lower the speeds between the village and the firehouse.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He thinks it kicks up too quickly, okay. Which you were touching on too, the Utiger property signage should maybe be down at Lover's Lane and Mossbrook, perhaps. That was his recommendation.
Yeah, there's a couple sections where beyond that where people live, which could come down further.
Yeah, but he said that's for the town to decide, because he was here for a few months and is really interested in mixed use paths and and other kinds of modification, which is why he recommended that we get you involved. But yeah, that's a possibility too.
So what's your budget these days, you think, for something like that?
I'd have to check. I think if you guys want, we could potentially update that number. It's, what did we initially say?
I think it was around 150.
150.
And you'd built in a pretty healthy contingent. I didn't know what your language for it, but there was a...
Yeah, we had, I think, a pretty good contingency.
20%.
I'd have to check because it was a weird time. It was, I'd have to check. I could get you updated numbers just because petroleum is doing weird things right now.
Sure, sure, sure.
And asphalt is mostly petroleum.
Is there any drainage that would have to be...
Yep.
You had touched on the one kind of... basin drain that's...
Yeah, so there's one, yeah.
Would there have to be one on the downhill side of the foundation? On the, I guess, the entrance?
So we have one right kind of off of the... New catch basin would be right about here.
Right.
Because we're going to have a swale that comes down into here. There's existing drainage and culverts that would be kind of picked up in here.
So that would just be if we had elevation and tie into the existing
And this catch basin would tie this way into the existing drain that kind of comes out of here.
And the town would pay the cost of the extend the parsonage driveway?
Yes, because you would be...
And then you'd have a top on where, who mows, what lawn?
Well, technically, right, so the town would own that. So the town, it would still all be in the town's right of way. So they would have, you could give them an access easement across that driveway, but that would be their only thing.
Yeah. My stomach hurts when I see it kind of like dividing that property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, we can redesign this however, based off the info that we get now. It was the shortest path that allowed them to still access.
10 more feet of gravel.
Yeah.
And gravel base.
And there's nothing magical about this parking either. Like
it's super helpful.
Yeah. This parking could go, this driveway could go here, parking shifts that way. You know what I mean? It's, this design was a little bit of a time capsule now based off what the board wanted then. You have different people here with different wants.
Yeah.
You're saying that the driveway for the parsonage come off of the new turn there.
It just didn't like it.
Yeah. So this is the connecting the dots the most efficient way, minimizing the easements and the required changes. And it's a 12-foot driveway. It's small, it's just for one lane, and you go. Another option that we had talked about was having, instead of head-in parallel parking along the road, that increased the green space, but it was less parking spaces.
From the lake. Process and permitting standpoint, like what are the hidden mines along the way if we endeavor this?
So I think the biggest thing unknown that you could come across is we did not do any testing of the soils of the road base right underneath. We don't necessarily know what's underneath these roads. You have 4 feet of concrete. You know what I mean? It's gonna be a pain to demolish. That and or if you have really poor soils in the green space, you know what I mean? If this was an ash dumping pit or a coal dumping pit, and you have to over excavate and put in the new material in there, that's all kind of standard materials. It's kind of a typical risk that you have. I don't see anything huge. You guys don't have any history of buried oil tanks that I know about there. Or anything like that.
In scope of work, it's pretty small.
Yeah.
So I think those numbers are kind of topped.
Yeah, and I would, with the contractor, I would recommend doing just a lump sum. You could do a lump sum. I wouldn't bid this out all at once. You could just say, hey, contractor, own this work. It's approachable for them. I don't think it's necessarily something that they're gonna want to have line items for. So for those that do not know, so there's two different ways when you go to contracting or bidding for projects like this. You can have a bid lump sum, which is basically like, hey, contractor, give me one price for this project. Or you say, hey, contractor, give me a price for each of these items of the project. The advantage of that is if you know that, for example, you want to increase the length of the road you want to do additional paving, you've locked your contractor into a price. So you said, oh, contractor, I know we were going to do 1,000 feet of paving. Now I want to do 2,000 feet of paving. Can I hold you to that price? That's not the situation you guys have here.
Can you zoom in back?
Sure.
Just a touch?
In or out?
Out. So right now, one of the decent uses of that extra space where the Y is,
yep,
in front of the church, is that we have, I think almost every bus stops there,
mm-hmm.
Because that area in Half Good is a pickup, it's a bus stop area.
Mm-hmm.
They changed it. Out behind the cheese house now is where they pick all the kids up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I think Half Good store owners complained about the bus stopping there because they have so much business.
Lucas is going to buy that place, so
yeah.
Whatever Lucas wants, the new owner.
And we got that sweet new parking lot, right? Which is,
right?
I'm glad it's getting used.
Yeah, we use
yeah.
it. The kid draws the chalk and everything.
That's,
it.
Yeah, I like that. Vandals.
Yep. Yeah, we're always graffitiing.
I caught Lucas doing that.
And then I guess I'm asking you, if we were to come back with a directive of, you know, a more comprehensive look in terms of we want to also slow the traffic on Main
yeah.
Street as well, that would be something you would look into.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And then if we could present another option for the access to the parsonage, that would really open up that new triangle of space.
Correct.
Because I feel like that, I'm looking at the Google Maps and I'm just, it kind of seems like it's going to be a sort of a, it's going to be some space, but not much. And what do you do? Like,
yeah, I mean, so
we're losing a nice space right now.
Mm-hmm.
That triangle right now is a nice space. We're losing it, but that triangle that you're creating, how do we make that?
How do you make that
useful? How do we make it a feature of
yeah. the, yeah, I get that. And I mean, we also did this design pretty focused on what the town wanted, not really talking to these landowners and things like that. So I'm wildly hypothetical. There could be a situation where there's access behind here and through here. And so if they're willing to give up their access here, and there's an agreement across in the back of here, that's an option that you don't have that. That's something we didn't necessarily go through. Another option, you know, there's many different ways to skin that cat. We kind of just directly ask for more. But if
Ben, I'm just going, but like maybe that's like a tree and a picnic table for the diners to have it on.
or that historic.
Or a fountain.
Would there be any value to having, say, it was flat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing how small of an added cost it may be if it was on the north side, is that north side of the old foundation?
So
where would that
dropping it this way? Yeah,
just
I mean,
taking that and moving it up.
We could. I think that if that was a route that people really wanted to take, I think sure.
It had mostly to do with the grade.
Yeah, but it was mostly to do with the grade. It's just going to increase your cost. It's going to increase your cost.
But it may help a little bit more of a slowdown on that side.
Correct.
It would be a discussion of what would help on this side.
Correct.
So you want to cut the park in half. This is a park, remember. This isn't like that thing in Bennington. There's a bunch of parking lots.
Yeah. I think it's, when you look at the scope of where the usable space could be in those parks.
And there's nothing like sacred about the foundation, at least not to me.
Well, I don't think you would actually infringe on them.
No. It's a foundation.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. I'm not going to touch that one.
You've done this before.
Yeah.
I think the foundation should be saved.
Okay.
I'm not from here, but I have seen.
We can pick them up and move them all 20 feet.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like I said, this can be tweaked in any number of ways. You know, we at the time we went with one approach, but no, the same design method could be moved up and down, could be adjusted.
Yeah. And we've got some really good designers in the room who do this kind of work. So,
yeah.
In the room and in town.
I think the other thing is going between that is there's this other stone well, so you try to be going between these two, or you're going further down that way.
Cannot jeopardize the hockey rink.
So I think that's why we didn't split between here, is because we started to look between that, and you're not going to have a lot of green space between this foundation and this foundation.
Yeah.
So is the village a designated historic district? I'm gonna look.
What's the question, Carol? Sorry.
Is the village is this within a designated historic district?
This is the. There are structures that are labeled and registered as historic. But,
and have we talked to the state about whether we need approval to do any of this?
I have not. I mean, given my many conversations with VTrans, and particularly Patrick Wilson, who does he makes visits here regularly. He's from VTrans and he oversees our big paving grants. And he was part of the meetings 3 years ago when MSK first presented this. As long as we are away from Route 11, I don't think we have any real state involvement. Or
well, I meant from the state historic preservation.
No. I thought you meant the state as in the road base.
Yeah,
no,
it's just something to think to. Look
yeah,
into.
No,
yeah.
only. That's more of a planning commission question, but we're not looking at removing any of the registered structures. But there's a list of them next door.
This is drawn out. There used to be a cut through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where that cut through.
So that is the old road?
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that the preservation folks at the state may have a different view. Having dealt with them on another project.
Yeah. I mean, we had to read the list of registered houses to hear the proposal for the Roberts place next door. And I mean, some of the folks in the room, if you want to chime in on that, unless we were going to wipe clean one of the historic registered houses. That's the only time I think we would have to dance with that preservation, that registration or that designation.
We stayed within the town right of way, so yeah. Generally,
yeah.
It's
yeah, that's yeah, yeah. That's better put. Well, this is the best attended meeting of this town other than town meeting that I've been to, and I'd love to hear through email or conversation all manner of reaction to the to both presenters and both Mark's big vision of sort of general strategies for traffic calming and also the specifics of a design for Main Street that people think would be healthiest for this community. I both
is
want
to somewhere on the website, on the town's website, or could it be?
Is there a town website?
Yeah, there's a town website.
Okay.
Yeah. We post up there all the time. We have copies of this printed out in the office. We have Mark's presentation as a PDF. I don't know if you could send me a.
You have this one, and you have the virtual copy as well.
Okay, that's right,
yep.
digital yep. files, so those could both go up. Yeah. Do we feel?
Unless you guys have any other questions. And
yeah.
Like I said, happy to, once you guys have kind of come to a consensus, happy to rehash this and kind of test
yeah.
if you guys want.
Are there any more questions for Andrew or Mark?
What are the speeds that you usually see the speed, which ones are the bottom ones called?
The tables.
The tables.
The tables.
Yeah. Like what speed do you usually put those in? Like with those, the ones you were showing us. Well, how fast? What's the speed on that, on those roads?
Probably you wouldn't want to do it on roads that were posted for more than 40 miles an hour.
Okay.
You can expect traffic to slow down to about 25 to 30.
And you just put them like wherever you want? Or
there's a little bit of art to spacing them out, and you have to space them out properly, because what will happen is people will decelerate when they come to it, and then they'll drive over it, and then it will accelerate again. So they're only one point of speed control, so you want to space it out so you maintain traffic calming throughout the area you want traffic calm. So probably like anywhere between 250 feet and 500 feet apart is generally considered good practice.
And then going into like a slower area and a stop.
Yeah.
You mentioned maybe one at the stop. Would there be like, would you shorten that distance? Or is it just like, just that one in that?
You can put it right before the stop sign, or you could put a raised crosswalk or a raised intersection. There's a lot of ways to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think you're
going to
have
to? Yeah, just in reference to your.
So do they have a long life? I mean, our roads don't actually have a very long life, given our frosties and our salting, and our roads get repaved pretty often.
Yeah.
I mean, I've lost an oil can on Half Good more than once without the speed tables.
The one in Pittsfield, for example, they did that when they repaved the road, so probably when you repave the road, you would redo the speed markers. They're not like very expensive. I think they feel they said they spend about $2,500 for speed hump. So it's not a major expense as far as infrastructure goes.
That's cheaper than a new website, in case anyone was curious.
And that's something, if you had a contractor doing the work already, paid a contractor, having them add speed humps, that would be the time to do it. Yeah. You're getting a better price for job data for that.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Of course.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We got a couple other short items on the agenda for tonight. People are welcome to stay or welcome to leave.
I know.
Yes?
I have a quick question then. Yeah. So how would we go about starting the process to put in one of these tables or something ever?
I think we're going to put a continuation on our next agenda.
Because people don't stop at that stop.
Yeah.
And they go real fast up the road.
Yeah, yeah. No,
and with all the skate skiers and the walkers, people coming from the pond.
Yeah.
The fact that there hasn't been an accident yet is
important. Yeah, I mean, we've got public comment coming up, but.
Like North Road happened. Well, yeah, we went off the road, right? And when our dog got hit right there.
We'll get to public comment in a minute. Thank you all for joining the big event. We've got just a couple items. The law has changed with fire warden. Well, the state has taken away the town's right to choose its fire warden. They've mandated that whoever is the acting fire chief is now the fire warden. So at the most recent Peru Fire business meeting, we had that information. Chuck was alerted that he had been fired as fire warden. And so we turned and as a department voted to have Mike Gaeta, who is the current fire chief, assume the role of fire warden. It's sort of a given because one can't do it and the other one now has to. But the act also allows for a town to elect anyone in the role of deputy fire warden. There's no limit to how many deputy fire wardens we have.
That.
So in the same breath, we nominated and unanimously voted for Chuck Black to be the one and only deputy fire warden. And so in light of that, the change in the law and the bypass and the vote of Peru Fire, I would move that we accept the nomination or the election of the choice of Mike Gaeta as the Peru Fire Warden and Chuck Black as the Deputy Fire Warden. I'm making that motion.
Okay.
All right. Shall we vote? That's
aye.
All right. We have
nice.
We have passed it. The next item is town website proposals and the current IT service update from Harriet.
Okay. There are piles if people want to look at them. And the what appears like blood on them are photocopies of the blood, not the actual blood. I don't know what it is. You two both have copies of these in your email. However, the Civic Plus one is updated.
Okay.
There has been a reduction in the annual fee. We dropped from an $850 setup to a $650 and an annual starting of $3,300 and some change instead of $4,600
okay.
and some change. My impression of, I've had copious meetings, possibly too many. My impression is that they are all
pretty much the
pretty
same.
Synonymous with each other. The only difference is in pay, whether it's a large
setup fee and a smaller annual fee, whether it's a small setup fee and a large annual fee. And every last one of them touts support, and I believe them. So Revise is, how do I say this? Okay, Civic Plus, GovSites, which is also GovPilot, it's a DBA, are, you work from a template. They give you X amount of templates to choose from. You choose it, they do all of the setup work, they do our document migration. That is the same of Revise. However, Revise is a from scratch, you do not start with a template, they build it to our specifications. And that is reflected in the price. They are more expensive. I appreciate that Sean from Revise has gave me a proposal and then left me alone for many weeks and just let me sit with the proposal. I wish Laura was here because I feel like she's well versed in this realm, and I am not well versed.
GoDaddy will remain the domain registrar
under. Yeah, so it's, I don't have a clear reading of which of these are registrars and which of these are not. My understanding is Revise is not a registrar. So we have our domain name, literally just the name, and GoDaddy is a registrar for that. They're our bookkeeper. They keep our name for us with the powers that be. And then I believe one of these is a registrar of their own. I think it's Civic Plus that is a registrar. Oh, this is an old version. I never finished my write-up. Whatever. Yeah, I believe Civic Plus is a registrar as well. So they do website hosting as well as registrar.
Are we happy with GoDaddy being our domain registrar?
Yeah, it's a pretty benign
role.
Yeah. In, I think that we have this potential animosity towards it because we deal with what we deal with, but it's not actually GoDaddy that's at fault. It's
WordPress.
It's WordPress.
Right. That's been the clunky.
Yeah. And GoDaddy bears the brunt of our rage because we log in through them, so they're the first thing we see, and then everything goes poorly after that, and then that's what we have in our head. But really, we pay them a lump sum a year for security and for maintaining our .org. There is a question of whether we'd like to switch to .gov going forward. I think it might be too soon in that. Let's have a functioning website, and then we can figure out the domain later. The website is what matters, and you can transition to a .gov. You can change the name anytime.
Right.
But because it also comes with changing all of our email addresses, and there's something that has to go through with our network security company, which is Silloway. I have meetings with every provider tomorrow, if anyone had questions about services specifically.
Oh, I'm sorry, but you don't have time tomorrow.
No, I have a busy day.
I have a very busy day.
What's
tomorrow? No, I'm kidding.
But I set up all those meetings so I can take questions then, but if I have if no one has any questions, I'll cancel the meetings.
I'll speak up and say, like, from my standpoint, my vote is, if you guys have a strong recommendation, I'm happy to take it. I don't think, in my opinion, this passes the litmus test of what us as a select board should approve. I would vote that we approve, frankly, anything in this scope range. Right?
I think
we don't want to spend $100,000, but
I think I'd like a clear reading on feelings. Revise is
arguably. Your
No. I actually don't know which is my favorite, which is why this is a very difficult decision for me. No, it's fine. But Revise is the most expensive, and they do provide the most tailored experience. I don't know if we are at a state in which we need that.
Actually need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we are a small town, and we don't deal with a ton of internet traffic. It would be great if the internet traffic we did deal with was up to snuff to manage the people. But I don't think we're looking at something like Londonderry uses Revise, but they are
mega.
Yeah. I can't even do that. It's so much larger than we are population wise and also product wise in what their town office provides. So I don't believe that we need the same infrastructure that they have set up. However, separate. I would perhaps like a little guidance in what the town feels is an appropriate budget for this. Because right now I have a bunch of numbers, and I could say, yeah, let's go with Revise. They're the most expensive one. But unless someone tells me, no, don't spend $10,000 on a website. I'm not inclined to spend $10,000 on a website, but...
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it ranges from 2 to 12,000,
yeah.
Right? And then we have a roughly 5 and a little over 6. Is Gov? No, Gov. What?
GovSites and GovPilot are the same.
That's not GovOS, right?
That is not GovOS.
Okay,
no.
Okay.
All right. And I do have other requests for demos pending with this company called Catalyst and this company called Civ Ally.
Okay.
And I have crickets from them.
Yeah.
So
well,
I figure if time is maybe not of the essence, but important.
I mean, I think I'm in agreement with Ben that if a recommendation emerges from your conversations and if you, Cheryl and Melinda feel like, oh no, this place, they're gonna help us run the work of the town the best, then I mean, I would be happy with the most expensive option if it feels like it sets us up really well. And I'd also be happy to spend half that amount if that looked like decent service.
Yeah.
But I don't want to avoid spending $6,000 or $5,000 and then having another agonizing product.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, it's worth spending double and like 5 years of use without a headache. Like, let's spend a little money. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
it's a clunker. Yeah.
It's actually even worse.
Yeah. Yeah, and in some ways I feel like because we're a 2 day, sort of 2.5 day,
yeah,
we almost need better systems and tech help.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I mean? Because
whole day trying to figure out what needs to, or like how to get it to work properly.
Yeah, and we're trying to do all the town's business
with
like 16 hours a week.
Yeah.
It would be really helpful to have
clean
working systems, right? So,
yeah,
and think about like put the difference in website costs, the startup, one-time expense, put that in the context of annual payroll.
Yeah.
Let's, you know what I mean? Like if that's a better product, let's spend and help everybody who works here.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, I know
how
to do it.
Does that sound
tomorrow.
Like...
Should the town office come up with a decision on a company that or a proposal that we're going to go with, you guys just need something to sign?
Yeah. And I think it would be useful... You know, Lori thought she was going to be here and then just had a little travel plan. Like, she lives in the tech world,
So
I think if she could meet with you and maybe do a pros and cons evaluation with you, she's the most equipped of the three of us to evaluate also.
Absolutely. Maybe, I mean, I'll shoot her an email and then if she's still traveling, she and I can just do a
that you'll call her.
Yeah, no, no, I mean, she, I think it was a last minute flight change that kept her from being here tonight, so she should be back soon.
But, cool.
All right.
All right, thank you all.
Awesome. Well, thanks for all the research. And then
this matter of the Silloway one, which is in the select board folder.
Yeah.
That is a project proposal.
Like page two there.
Yes. That is a project proposal, and this is not my realm, for an access switch that essentially sets up a different Wi-Fi scenario than what we have. Currently, we have the absolute default Wi-Fi that comes with our router. And this is a proposal to set up guest or public Wi-Fi and private Wi-Fi. Those with the private Wi-Fi type in a little password, and then they have printing capabilities because they are behind the firewall that our copier is connected to, which really
is not the case now.
It's not the case now. It really pertains to you two, any Tracy, anyone who's coming in and doing town business and cannot print from their computer, which I think for an ease of work for the select board or the cemetery commission or any quasi-judicial body for the town is beneficial.
Do you feel like this looks like a $1,980 proposal?
Yeah.
Do you feel like they're going to deliver what we say we've needed?
Yeah.
With that?
I do.
Okay.
I mean,
is it appropriate? Are you ready for a motion to simply accept the Silloway?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
offer? And
I would consider talking to Lori about it first because she has a finger on the pulse of how this, one, how the product, how the materials and how the labor break down in this space, but I have a borderline positive relationship with Silloway. They've been very kind to me, so I feel like they will deliver what we have asked for.
I'm just checking we have a 5 Wednesday month, so our next meeting is 3 weeks. It's August 5th. Should we wait for a motion until that meeting on the network proposal?
In the meantime, we can touch bases with Lori.
Yeah, does that sound like?
I mean, that works for me.
Okay.
You should know going into that. The labor is a fixed price. They've moved on to a fixed price setup as a company. And so the labor will remain the same. The only thing that might change is material costs, and that will be entirely market dependent.
Yeah. Okay.
And,
but this is a pretty lengthy proposal. It'll give us a chance to read it and see if we have questions. And
yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. I moved public comment only because I didn't want to hold up our guests until we finished all the business. And that you know, and we've lost a lot of the public, but some of the public is still here. So if the public wants to comment.
First off, during the meeting, you were saying how you were thinking it would be nice to have like the pavers down Main Street in front of the Russell Inn and the Christopher's and stuff, because he didn't really care for that, the way they extended the paving. So the question is, why did you allow them to extend the paving? They just did it on their own?
We didn't have a paving footprint discussion. They simply paved over the existing pavement and I think made it a little wider, and if you look at kind of historic photos, it seems like it gets a little wider.
And that's what I'm
each time.
About.
Every
yeah.
time.
So, but it was
soil and lawn and more paving. More
I asphalt. Think that's
yeah.
an issue to be taken up with the construction company.
Yeah, I mean the paver, it's.
Yeah.
But it wasn't something that we asked for, and it's.
That's why I was. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we
didn't. It's not a conscious decision.
No, we didn't ask them to add width, and I think that's, you can't go narrower without creating difficulty, but I, no, I was only struck by the photo of what was done in Old Bennington to narrow and then add something decorative.
It's a fabulous idea to,
yeah,
to do that, to narrow it. But yeah, just, after you've allowed them to widen, or they just widen it on their own, yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I would think that is more like the case, David.
Because pavers like to pave.
Well, surgeons like to cut. So.
Yeah, I mean, they came in and did it. So,
yeah.
But it.
They have no sense of the aesthetics of it.
No, no.
Not, yeah. So, but I think it's a fairly easy. If we went in the direction of intentionally narrowing Main Street, that's a relatively simple change.
Thanks.
Right? It's, yeah.
It'd be nice to have more for people who walk, more,
oh, yeah,
bikers,
yeah,
the roller skiers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was really struck by that, that
the
deliberate planting of trees to crowd, you know, to intimidate traffic, essentially, is.
We had a study years ago, and they suggested those things, too.
Yeah, yeah, that was, so.
But then they had fallen by the wayside.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Well, I have one last thing, too. You live, the little monument, the first schoolhouse in Peru, down at the corner of Adams Lane, it's just, like, really unattractive. I was just wondering if you, I mean, all this seems like all this gravel has been like washed down the road and just sort of piled up around it. And, I mean, I go up there in the spring and clear away dead limbs and stuff around it. But is there something we've done to just at least to rake away all that gravel and so hit the road guys to do it? I would even give them a hand if I knew they were coming.
So you want to just, does it seem like the sediment has built up?
It just
builds
up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The area a little, yeah, bit. It just really looks just sort of forlorn and abandoned.
Yeah.
Where is this?
It's right on the corner of Adams. Adams. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
At the corner.
Let's have Wayne check it out.
There's just a lot of fun off that goes,
yeah,
that way anyway, because,
yeah,
it's great
as a hill. It's not high on the list of fixing potholes and sinkholes and stuff like that. But it just,
I don't
well,
know.
We
the,
have to maintain our historically
valuable things,
too. Because they're
driving
too fast.
Yeah. Did you
well, then,
yes. Yeah.
What? How would we go about like talking further about implementing some of what they mentioned over on Northland? Because there's the stop sign.
I think we have a town clerk who insisted that we, see ya, thank you. We had a town clerk sitting right next to you who insisted that this meeting happen, that you know, continuing to do nothing is not actually a strategy. So now we've heard what two experts think and recommend,
yeah,
and like,
even with that paving that just happened recently, there's like a nice dip down on, like, no matter what way you go on the North Road, people don't even care. They still just go.
They just hit it.
They don't even care.
Yeah.
You can,
yeah,
hear where, like,
yeah,
it gets quiet because no tires,
yeah,
have left the ground. And like,
yeah, but to be clear, you want what happened tonight to become something like a process and a, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Me too.
You can, okay, good.
I thought that was fantastic.
Good.
And simply these people want to stop at a stop sign.
Yeah, and
I mean, I scream at them. I stop at them.
Yeah.
These are my neighbors, which makes me feel bad. But like,
we had someone drive through town the other day, and someone I was with screamed at the driver, and I thought that was a little aggressive, like, as a way of slowing someone down. It turned out they were driving with their loading ramp on the pavement. So,
oh my,
and I hadn't even, it was like, it was a really loud rig, but I hadn't even noticed that it was like literally that mower ramp is just like, you know, getting ground off on. So we repaved Main Street with aluminum this week as well. Yeah, it was, no, I was thinking of North Road and your intersection because I don't think Mark is aware that was part of the traffic study.
Because that's definitely not.
Yeah, that, but that.
Right, and we do have a 90. It's already there. We just need to figure out that.
Yeah, well, it's funny because we, you know, their mantra is turn Y's into T's.
Yeah.
And they had told me about the Bennington intersection.
I don't like where that T pulls out into the road. So close to the corner.
I get that.
Yeah, I think there's a sight line issue.
Maybe get one of those mirrors so you could see, like, you know what I mean? Like the,
yeah.
You see what's coming.
Just but
the way people come down North Road, too, they're like, they might look, there's trees. There's like an island in between North Road and Hampton Pond.
And you can't that
has
see.
A rock wall. It has trees. It has bushes. So they're like, oh, I don't see a body. And then a little skate skier, boom, zips by.
Yeah.
And someone's going to absolutely cream one of these kids, and it's gonna be terrible.
Yeah. Well, so Nick, who I was mentioning, he
Nick was great.
He has a lot of familiarity with recreational path tradition, and he thinks that we have a perfect setup to designate basically from the historic district, Main Street, out. Well, he thinks a trail or a designation all the way to Hapgood Pond.
Yeah.
Maybe using North Road.
There used to be a path.
So and with that, if you do a mixed use designation, there's all sorts of stuff about like treating the shoulder, creating, you know, a bike, pedestrian, roller ski lane, decreasing the main traffic speed. Like it's a whole kind of package that. And he got really excited because our 25-year-old VTrans study made that recommendation, and it just didn't get acted on. But he said, we are a layup for a grant because we have that work already in the filing cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if we were going to look at that intersection, it seems like it should be in concert with possibly a designation of...
Yeah.
You know, like, because that would, that
because
could
that's
help reshape.
Because that's being used as, I mean, people walking their dogs, riding their bikes. Up.
Yeah, and I don't mean this to slow you down at all, but I just feel like there's money there. And and if we're moving toward changing a little bit of our infrastructure for either beauty or safety or noise control, that it kind of makes sense to make it part of the same movement, right? So, all right, well, that's a lot of votes for not killing this conversation, right?
Okay.
Cool.
I think that, if I can speak.
Yeah.
For this to actually happen, right, I think it needs traction, it needs enthusiasm, and I feel like it probably needs someone to help spearhead it, or at least people to keep the ball rolling. You know, frankly, we have that start with MSK. You know, for the way I would, a potential path forward that I see is if we gathered a consensus, went back to MSK and said, we'd like you to put together a bit more comprehensive plan, including Main Street, including Hapgood Pond Road, you know, then we have something that we can have a few special meetings about.
Yeah.
Right, have some price behind and say this plan here is now, I'm making it up, $250,000.
Yeah,
we can break it up into phase 1, 2, and 3, and then we as a town, I don't think that's something that Andy and Lori and I can just willy nilly approve, but that is something probably that we can get approved at town meeting or even at a meeting beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have, and I think what happened last time, if I understand correctly, was that. That presentation was made. They're like, it's okay. It's kind of nice, but it doesn't, you know, Potter was saying, well, what does it do for Main Street? And you're saying, well, what does it do for Hapgood Pond? And it just kind of was like, and then there's concerns of, we have this new slice of green space that isn't really that great. Like, I'd really love to see something that was.
Well,
like,
people have to understand that you're going to have to give a little.
To get a lot.
To get this safety.
Right.
I love this phrase, traffic calm.
Yeah.
They did it in Rutland too. They took out the tree hugger. They made the, like, if you were going out of Rutland, like, is that north? I don't know what
But they made it so it used to be two lanes.
Yes.
It was like a drag, like,
right.
And they made it so that it's just, they notch down.
Into yeah, and as soon as you've merged, you just chill out.
Yeah.
Because you're not, yeah. Yes, it's, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a great
I'd really love to see it as see like a comprehensive, these are the couple things that we want to do.
Yeah.
It may not, like you said, it's not going to please everyone, not going to answer every question, but we've taken more of a holistic look at this is what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. We can put some price into it. We can look into grants. But yeah, we need more enthusiasm, and we need some,
numbers.
Unanimous.
Yeah.
I don't think the numbers are.
Numbers of people to like come together and agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To keep it rolling.
I think that'd be easy, honestly. Just go down Hapgood and up North Road.
But I assume MSK is completely. If we came back to them with a feedback of we want, your next engagement is take a look at this, add this, come back to us with another, we're going to spend another whatever it is, 5, 10, 15 grand with them to get to the point where we have this, a more comprehensive, detailed version of what you presented tonight, and then I think that at that point in time you get people really excited because
right. You've
looked at it, you've said, here's what we can do with this space, not just there's a weird shaped piece between, and you've talked to the guy at the parsonage and said, hey pal, can we move your driveway? Let me know if we can or can't do that.
Right.
Well, right. Like before tonight, it had never occurred to me that, one thought was to run it around the west side of the church. But what if we tucked it next to the stone wall on the uphill side? Because then it's invisible.
Right.
And it doesn't impact the neighbors and, but just as an example, why not?
And all those little things, like that's what people would accept, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now this is nice. Now this is nice. Now this guy,
and
we have something that's like, frankly, could be really, really awesome.
Lots of good input.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we're hearing people start to try to solve,
because
there are some burrs, right?
We're getting past the, unfortunately, very stale mindset of, this is the way it's always going to be.
Yes, I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, and the other thing, and I'm not trying to jump the gun, because I agree with you, like, some process, and I like the idea of, like, let's say we have a three-phase just for cost reasons and disruption and all that. Like, let's say we had first, second, third projects. I mean, we have enough money in the paving fund right now to do the MSK job this summer. I mean, like, it's not like we don't have to apply for grants and hope for the best.
Yeah, you just need a consensus.
And then you need to get, like, the state's approval.
No, I didn't know that. Yeah, no, we are... They said as long as we're not changing what happens on Route 11,
right.
That's a whole nother.
And was one of these gentlemen, were they the ones that put like the little sensors down the road?
That came out of BCRC.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That was a colleague of Mark's who... And,
like, we get to hear what he is.
So we've got that report.
We have that report.
I thought he might be commenting on that data for us as part of tonight, but I think he, his mind was on different parts of it. So what he said the first time he and I talked was that he looked into the accident history, because that's a really big deal. And he said, we don't have notable accident history.
Right.
But we all know we've got consistent irritation and a whole lot of close calls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I sit on that porch and...
Yeah. Well, you do, and Potter does, and Jim
after,
across the street.
Before the bus moved to the other parking lot, just the amount of people in the wintertime, especially, like trying to get by the salt truck, flying through town just to get back out to Route 11 and not have to be behind it. And then the truck turns around at the... it's just annoying to watch. What the hell?
I remember working at the store and seeing trucks just.
Yeah.
One of my neighbors, Percy's neighbor, son-in-law, admitted to doing it. He's like, oh yeah, I do that. I'm like, thanks, asshole.
Yeah, now
you live. We're gonna build the biggest speed table
ever.
All right.
So I guess my only other question So like to start gaining traction with, you know, like other people around town, do we just say like attend the next meeting and like talk about it more, or like, because I mean, I would literally go door to door, like I have no problem.
Yeah, we've kind of like
doing that,
talked about it for a couple of years, like one said, like I went to the select board years ago to get our driveway, which was technically the old Hapgood Pond Road and technically still a town road, to become my driveway. And, you know, and that was even, that was when Stuart told me how to, what to do and what to say. And he was the one who told me too that when they put in that road up the firehouse, technically they were going to close the other end, but never did because it was convenient.
Yeah, like I ultimately just want to be able to, like I want to have something that I say to people to be like, you know, so that they're not like, oh, that sounds like a great idea, and then just have no idea when it's going to happen.
Well,
I think people just need to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I try to build the agenda for a Wednesday meeting by the Thursday before, just so that there's time to write it up and post it ahead of time. I mean, it has to be posted by Monday, but it helps, and the office is open Tuesday and Thursday. So you can always request to be on the agenda, you know, 5-6 days before the upcoming meeting. And the only reason you wouldn't be with a topic is if the meeting agenda is already way too long and full, in which case you could be put off 2 weeks. But yeah, I mean, we're here to
To respond. So like tomorrow we can stop by and ask to be put on the next one, or do we wait?
Yeah, just send, you can send an email to any and all of the select board or to the town clerk or the assistant clerk. You know, just say, hey, we want to, like, that's, Harriet had 5 things on the agenda for tonight originally, and then a couple of them came off because they solved themselves. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to be agenda items, but they also just kind of went away.
And so, and you can also gather, like, I know some people can't come, right? So
yeah.
So having that as, you put a pile of emails in front of us, right?
Okay.
From these neighbors. And, like, again, I go back to the whole, like, what we lack in some, what makes it hard for us to make decisions is when it's not unanimous.
Right.
So if you say, hey, like, go talk to your neighbors and write up something. We'd like to see this, this, and this. And it's signed by, you know, all those folks. Then we say, like, okay, that's something that we can then take and say, MSK, here's what we want you to look at at that intersection.
Yeah, I'm down.
Is, like, MSK the people that we would get a speed hump from? Or is that something else? Because it might not require, like, an engineer for our problem.
Yeah, no. They put it on a plan, but I think BCRC already, they've got all the specifications we need to give to either our town road crew, or if we're going to have a paver show up and do some of those as a special project. I mean, they you know, he knows the language really well about, like, which curves work best with plows and all that stuff. So now MSK is more, you know, they're figuring out things like, what's the radius of a turn given the traffic you've got? And I mean, they're designers and, you know.
And can I also ask, is there some point where, like, I'm not really concerned about whether or not the neighbors want to stop the stop sign?
Well, like, yeah, who cares? It's
like, I'd like go and get that, like, have them sign something saying, yeah, we want to stop at the stop, like, I don't care. Like, it's the rules. Like, stop at the stop sign. Like, I don't, do we need people's approval to put something there to make them do what they're supposed to do anyway?
For anything to actually happen, right? We are not just going to approve willy-nilly, like, go spend $5,000 and put in a speed team, right? What we are going to approve, if I can speak for you, right? It's like, what we are going to approve is, like, we have a thoughtful design, and we have a community that is behind this design.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure out how to make this happen,
right?
What we have right now is a start of something okay that had a really lukewarm reaction to it. To Andy's point before, we're really at a great point because now, like, it used to be just a little jab. Now we're like, there's some serious pain here, right?
Yeah.
We want to fix this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we don't want to just, it's like fixing a car. You don't want to just start throwing money at it, throwing parts at it. You want a plan from someone like MSK who, when we have a meeting, when we have those same people in the room, we can all leave that meeting with some pretty darn good enthusiasm, like, wow, this is going to solve a lot of problems. It's going to be worth the couple $100,000 investment, mm-hmm. right?
And I was not a believer coming here tonight.
But you did want to have the conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the problem with that, like, it's good, but it's not great, right? Like, if I'm spending my own money, tweet. Right? I'm like, okay, I'm intrigued, but like, I'm not ready to whip out my credit card. And I don't want to buy that if I don't make you guys happy too. Right?
Right.
And I don't want to buy that and have Potter come in every other week and
I
still keep
playing.
People are cutting through, you know.
Yeah, no, I get it for sure.
Yeah. But I also, the other thing is, just because we're not solving one problem that's 3 or 4 miles north of here doesn't mean we shouldn't face a problem right here on Main Street. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
sometimes
right.
it feels like if we're not doing
yeah.
six things, we shouldn't do any. Like, no, we should do one and then another and then a third and a fourth and
yeah.
and try to gauge. I agree with you completely. Like, let's have a plan that gets a lot of attention and starts to feel exciting.
Yeah.
You know, I thought.
And just as more attention.
Yeah.
I think we have a good crew too. I mean, I think we have some money, we have some state involvement, and we have some grants that are available. This is a tenable solution. Like we can do this, right?
Yeah.
We're not like my wife shopping for, you know, vacation homes and wherever.
Yeah.
We're not gonna end up buying. Right. We
yeah.
can do this.
No, this is totally in the scope of
we can make it happen.
Our budget. So
cool.
Awesome. Right. Well, thank you all for
thanks for coming.
And we'll hear from you on Thursday.
Now.
Unless we have some other business, we're just going to review and pay bills. I'll say we.
Yeah, let's do it.
Just to do that. All right, I second that, and we are.